Let me say hi to Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Get your pen ready. Get your digital device ready and start taking some notes. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
Nice to be with you as always. I hope all is well in your world.
Dramatic stuff going on. You always make it very dramatic. I don't know how you do it.
Well, we try to pick a day right after the stock market gets rocked.
Exactly.
Or it goes up dramatically. What do you make of the fall off yesterday?
Well, sometimes good news is bad news. Sometimes good news is good news. In this case, good news is bad news, meaning we had some good, strong economic numbers yesterday. The housing market definitely is doing better in most places in the country. New home sales were up 6.8%, which is much more than people expected. Home prices are up about 5% over the last year. 19 out of 20 cities showing gains there. Durable goods orders were up more than people expected. So all this is good news. The dollar was stronger. And so people say, oh, my God, if we have good news, that means the Fed Reserve is going to raise interest rates. Because last week, Chairman Yellen said, we're looking to raise interest rates. We just need the economy to be strong enough to do so. And so every time there's good news now, people say, oh, my God, they're going to raise rates. But if they raise rates, which I think they're not going to, they would be a quarter point. So it's not as though we're talking about very high interest rates here. So that's what freaked them out today. This morning, the stock market's already up. Maybe they've gotten over that. Maybe they think good news is going to be good news today. You just never know the way they're going to.
Well, and it reinforces the idea that there are two economies. There's the Wall Street economy of investing, and then there's the real people economy on the street of living your life.
Yeah.
And those two things don't always intersect.
For sure. They're in their own world in many cases in Wall Street. That's right.
Right.
So it's been very different. Interest rates have been rising. I mean, the long-term Treasury, which about March was maybe 1.6, is now about 2.1, 2.2. So it's getting a little bit more expensive for people to do mortgages. But they're still earning nothing on their CDs and money market funds. I mean, that's clearly going to stay at zero for a long time here. So what I say is savers who are doing the responsible thing, putting money aside for the future, are being punished. Borrowers are being rewarded for, spending more money than they have, basically. So that's the current system now, Steve.
I'm talking to Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com. Are we still a cash-rich country because we hoarded so much of it after 08?
Well, companies have about $2.5 trillion in cash. Now, a lot of it's stashed overseas because they don't want to pay taxes to bring it back in. And consumers here have a lot of cash, too. Now, some have a lot, but some have very little. But there's about $10 trillion in CDs, money market funds, things like that, pretty much earning zero these days. I mean, it's just
insane. It's just the banks holding your money.
It's banks holding money. And then they sometimes even charge you to get at your own money. You know, they'll charge a fee if you look at the teller the wrong way, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, people are earning nothing on their money these days. I mean, one of the most popular things I talk about in your show, and I get tons of emails and so on from it, is a way of earning 6% very, very safely on your money, and that's these commercial mortgage bridge loans, because that's lending money to high-quality commercial properties that can't get loans from banks. Banks are just holding on money so tightly.
Strip malls, smaller construction projects, things like that?
Apartment buildings, medical buildings, shopping centers, those kind of things. That's correct. And they're perfectly legitimate. They're creditworthy, good structures, but they just can't get loans from banks for doing short-term kinds of projects like that. So this is a way in the private market where you get 6% over 1 year. You get monthly checks, and at the end of the year, you get your money back. There's a website about that, which is commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com, and it's helped literally millions of dollars of your listeners' money has gone into these things, Steve, and they've helped a lot of people earn 6 instead of 0.
It's a good idea. Now, you got to have 50 grand, right?
That is the minimum, correct, which a lot of your listeners have way more than that sitting in cash. Believe me, having talked to them a lot.
And there's rich folks that listen to this show, and there's folks that certainly have accumulated 50 grand over the course of their time, and this is a way to make money on it.
And you can do it inside an IRA, or you can do it outside. You can do it both ways as well, because people ask that question all the time.
Interesting way to play it. We got a couple of people on the phone to ask questions and texters as well. 312-981-7200 if you have a question for Jordan. What's up at moneyanswers.com today?
What is up today? Well, I'm just putting out a blog on student loans because this is the big problem. We have all these graduations going on, which is nice. It's going to add about $100 billion in new student loan debt after this graduation season is over to the existing $1.3 trillion that's already outstanding. So the blog I'm putting out today is on how to deal with this mountain of student loan debt. Over 50% of the people graduating this season are going to go back and live at home, at least the undergraduates. Maybe some of the graduates too, actually. And they're just overwhelmed by this amount of debt. The average is about $29,000, But a lot of people have $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 in debt, undergraduate. And then if you add business, law, medicine on top of that, that's another $200,000, $300,000 before they got their first jobs. So that's what I'm going to blog about today.
You know, I'm going to give you two ideas to run with, Jordan, and see if you can get these finished and certified and legalized by the end of the day. There should be a way, you know, these 529 plans where you can raise money for college? There should be a way where you could raise money for the ancillary expenses of your kid growing up in your house, including what's going on right now for so many people, graduation party expenses. Absolutely. Everybody wants to throw a graduation party. And, you know, you're going, okay, well, I'm going to need six grand. I mean, it's amazing how expensive it can be.
Yes, it's almost like a prom or something.
Right, so if you're there's another one. So when you
we should have a prom fund. I like this idea.
Right. So, and then the second thing is the way we score the economy, talking about the Wall Street versus the regular economy, you know, there's this index and there's that index of leading economic indicators and other things. I would like to see a BI. You know what a BI is, Andrea? That's the Bob Index.
Oh, okay.
If the average American is named Bob, you take a collection of items, maybe 10 items that are mathematical that you could figure out how Bob's doing. And that would be the real score of how Americans are doing. Jordan, could you do the math on that and get back to me?
Absolutely. In about a minute, I'll take care of that.
The Bob Index.
Just the regular man / woman's fund.
Yeah, yes. That's
it. Are we going to count the prom in that? Is that one of the index?
Sure, yeah. We can combine the two. But I'm telling you, they laughed at Einstein.
Part of it is the boomerang index, right? Because when the kids come back from college, what happened to the empty nest?
Yes, so that's the why the hell is he on my couch index.
Exactly.
The I can't charge him rent index.
Oh, sometimes I charge him rent. And you're too nice on your kids. You know, you got to charge him rent.
I had to pay rent.
Yeah. You did?
You did, right?
I had to pay a little bit, sure.
What did they charge you?
Oh, well, back then, I don't know, $100 a month, which is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But if I'm going to live there, eat their food, yeah.
You can't charge them. You want them out quicker.
What do you mean?
Well, if you charge them, then they're still in debt with all the student loans and everything.
Well,
so
no, be a bad landlord.
No, because that gave me incentive. I thought, if I'm going to pay rent here, I'm going to go live on my own.
Exactly. That was the idea. It wasn't about the money. It was about getting you out. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think if you're a terrible landlord, even if you're the parent, you know, they call you from the room. I need some, I got some trouble in the room I need fixed. Can't help you. I am backed up with your brothers and sisters. More with Jordan Goodman in a moment. MoneyAnswers.com. We'll come back, get calls on the air from Philip and Jim and Lisa and some text too on 720 WGN. Philip's on the phone. Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Good morning. I got your tweet, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I just inherited my mother's IRA, and I heard about 6% interest, and I don't want to pay taxes on this. I want some advice on how to work with this.
How much did you inherit, Philip?
I inherited $210,000.
All right, good. Well, you can do that. So what you could do is to roll over. You can get that commercial mortgage bridge loan I just talked about inside an IRA. So you could keep it growing tax-deferred inside that IRA as long as you keep it with your mother's IRA. So that's fine. The website is commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. You can always email me at moneyanswers.com as well. So instead of earning, you know, nothing on a CD or money market fund, you can earn 6%. So just to be clear how that works, you're going to be lending money to a high-quality commercial real estate company for 1 year. It's a one-year obligation. You get monthly checks. In this case, the money would go into your the IRA, grow tax-deferred. At the end of the 1 year, the loan is paid off, and then you can either do another one or take the money, but most people just renew it because where else are you going to get 6%?
Yeah, how about that? You don't pay the taxes, and you're making 6%.
That's right. That's so on $200,000, say it's $200,000, he would be getting $12,000 a year in income, and he would be getting a check for $1,000 a month going into his IRA.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Take it out whenever you like, but meanwhile, as long as it's in there, it's growing tax deferred.
Jim's got a life insurance question. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, yes. I'm not sure if it was you, Jordan, or somebody else on this show that talked about life settlements in the past. Does that work with term policies as well?
Let's just clear what life settlement. This is where people buy your life insurance policy that you don't want to keep anymore, and so you get hundreds of thousands of dollars for it, and then when you die or the person who was insured dies, the people who buy the policy collect the death benefit. But it's a way of you getting money up front instead of having your policy lapse. That can save you a lot. There's a website to help you for this, Jim, and that is fundinglife.com, fundinglife.com. They've also got a phone number, 877-485-6681. And the way that works is they're going to evaluate your situation and say it's $1 million policy and you've got you're in your late 70s and you've got a sickness, something like that. They may pay you $400,000 for it now. When you die, they're going to get the $1 million. But meanwhile, you get $400,000 right up front.
Right. So this is particularly a case of if you want cash now, you're going to pay.
No.
You're
and
going
to- then the older you are and the sicker you are, the better it is because you're going to get more money. This is where age and sickness really pays off, Steve.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yes,
stand
absolutely.
By. Stand by. More with Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com. But now let's get to the news.
Now back to more Steve Cochran.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need.
Jordan Goodman joins me again, America's Money Answers Man. Go to MoneyAnswers.com. He is the author or co-author of 13 best-selling books, Jordan, most of them on finance, but I know you wrote a bunch of beach novels with Fabio for a while as well.
Yes,
that was a big hit for you.
Those have been very big sellers.
Yes. Those were strong.
But they're going electronic now, so you can download them.
MoneyAnswers.com or at Goodman Jord.
Goodman Jord.
Yeah, I threw an extra R in there. Goodman Jord. GoodmanJord. We'll get to a couple texter questions in a second, but Lisa's been waiting. She got a mortgage question. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. Jordan, I do have a question for you. A couple years ago, I tried to refinance, and unfortunately, my value of my home was not there. And I would have had to pay mortgage insurance, and it would have not been economical for me. I've noticed in comparables and houses in my area right now that it has increased. And you even mentioned like 5% in our area. I'm looking to refinance again before the interest rates get really high.
What is your current interest rate now, Lisa? What is your rate now?
Mine's at 4.75% right now.
4.75%, okay.
Right. My problem is this. When I did this a couple of years ago, I was bombarded. I mean, I think I tried LendingTree or one of those.
Yeah, don't do that. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, I got totally bombarded and harassed for weeks.
Yeah. All right, so here's what happens.
Well, yeah, because they're database collectors, right?
Well, they're basically selling your lead. They're lead generators, as they call it. Okay, so when you call LendingTree, they are not lending directly. They are selling your name to as many people as will buy it, basically. It could be like 30, 40 different places.
Which is why your phone rings off the hook and
exactly.
You don't know who to talk to.
This is not a good thing to do.
So Lisa's got a problem here, which I think a lot of people can identify with. 4.75% sounds like it's kind of in the ballpark of where interest rates are now.
It's right on the edge, because 30-year fixed-rate mortgages have gone up to about 4%. They had gotten as low as about 3.7%. So even at 4%, it might make sense to refinance, Lisa. If you could go from a 30-year down to a 15-year where you get about 3%, and payments may be a little bit higher, but paying it off in 15 years instead of 30 years would be a good thing. Here's a website that can help you, Lisa, which is arcloan.com, ARCLOAN.com. And what that does, it's called the automatic rate cut. That's what ARC stands for. When rates ever fall, it automatically goes down. When rates go up, it never goes up. I got an ARC loan originally myself back in 2001 at 10%. It came down 7 times and is now at 3%. And it only goes down, never up. So that's something you might want to take a look at.
Well, we should also explain to people that all of the websites you mention are people you are in business with or know or have obviously tried the product.
I've done myself. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So this is not something you're going, hey, try this. Maybe it works.
Correct. I've actually done all these things. I've got a commercial mortgage bridge loan. These are things I do. Correct. There's a website, as I mentioned, arcloan.com, Lisa. There's also a phone number, 800-272-5626. So I would move sooner rather than later. If you're at 4.75%, and as you say, rates may go up, if it starts getting to like 4.5%, it's not going to make sense for you to do it. So right now, when you're roughly at 4%, it's worth it to see it. And potentially, if you can go to the 15-year, that would be the best of all worlds, because then you're going to get 3%.
All right, more with Jordan Goodman in a second. MoneyAnswers.com. Go to MoneyAnswers.com, listen to Jordan Goodman, and you will make money. You will save more money. And as I've told you before, when I listen to Jordan, I do just fine. And when I don't do so good. So I learned a long time ago, Jordan, not to go against your advice.
Very good. Well, you've done very well as a result of that, yes.
Question for Jordan Goodman from the texters. It's 703. Best way to lower my car payment. Is there a way to do that?
Absolutely. There's a website, myloangen.com, G-E-N. And what they do is you put in your existing car payment and how many more months you have to go on it. And then you can pick what your car payment's going to be by extending out the loan. Now, cars last a lot longer than they used to in the past. So say your car has 3 years to go and it's, whatever, $300 a month. If you go out to 7 years, your payment might go down to like $150. It's like a little sliding thing. You can figure out exactly what payment you want based on how long it is. And it's done instantly for you. So I just saved you a ton of money on your car loan. Again, the website, myloangen.com.
Well, there's not very many people that can refi a car well, but you like these guys, huh?
Yeah, it's done automatically for you.
Okay.
It's very, very quick. And I'll tell you, if you want a real growth business, Steve, a real growth business, okay? The repo business, okay?
Right.
A lot of people who bought cars recently who can't afford what they bought.
Right.
And they're going to lose their cars. So there's a lot of people whose cars they think they own, they're actually renting them for the short term because the repo man's going to take them. So this is a way of helping people who can't afford the payments they have to keep the car and get the payments down to a lower level by extending it out.
From the 630, a couple of 50-year-olds have a SEP IRA, want to know if they should roll it over into a Roth.
Well, if you do that, it's a one-time tax hit, which is called a conversion. You're converting it from a traditional IRA to a Roth. So that could cost some real money. But then, going forward, the Roth IRA is the best thing since sliced bread because it grows tax-free forever, and you don't have to start taking the money out at age 70 and a half as you do with a traditional IRA. So if you're willing to take the one-time tax hit, yes, it's a good idea. If you can pay the taxes from elsewhere and not from the amount you're rolling over, that's the best of all deals. So say you're rolling over, whatever, $50,000, and the tax is going to be $10,000. I'm just making up a number. If you can come up with that $10,000 elsewhere to pay the tax, then you can roll over the full $50,000 now growing tax-free. That's the best way to go.
And Roth IRAs are income-restricted, aren't they?
As far as opening new ones, correct. There are certain income limitations, and you have to have earned income in the year in which you open the Roth IRA. So if you're already retired and you don't have earned income, money from stocks and bonds is not earned income, then you can't open a Roth IRA. So that's why you should do it while you're in your working years, because then you can add more to it later.
It says somebody from the 773 wants to buy stock for their nephew as a birthday gift to get him started. It's like when we were kids and you'd get a government savings bond.
Yeah.
Is there a way to do that, to get somebody started in stocks?
So you set up what's called a Uniform Gifts to Minors, or UGMA, account at a brokerage firm. You could do it at a discount brokerage firm like a Schwab or E-Trade or Ameritrade, something like that. You open up an account, put the money in there, buy the stock in his name, and tell the kid about it. You don't get certificates anymore. That really doesn't exist as such. But I would recommend that they buy a stock the kid can relate to. Disney, Nike, heroin dealers, you know, things like that.
And it's called an UGMA?
UGMA is Uniform Gifts to Minors Act account. That's correct.
Is that the acronym you'd use on Scottrade or whatever?
Yes, that's exactly right. But, you know, as long as the kid is under age 18, he can't do it on his own. He's
right.
Considered a minor.
Right.
So there's a custodian or a trustee, basically. But you can start the kid young. People say, I've got to wait till 18 to start investing. No. There are kids who are 9 years old who are trading like crazy, but it's just under an UGMA account, basically.
Interesting.
You got to start your kids younger, Steve. You waited too late to start investing.
Yeah, well, I didn't start listening to you in time. It's moneyanswers.com. And check out, when will your blog be up today? And by the way,
later today. There's a free list. You know, people just join the list, and I send out blogs all the time. And the thing about the student loans is that people are getting crushed by these things. There are things they can do. They can consolidate those student loans at a website, consolidatecollege.com. And there's something called the Income-Based Repayment Program, the IBR program. You pay the minimum for 10 years. After that, no matter how much you owe, the rest of it is forgiven. So that can save you tens of thousands of dollars in your student loans. So that's what I'm going to talk about today.
And Mary, don't hang up, because even though we're out of time on the air, I want to get your answer to your question off the air, and Jordan will be happy to facilitate
sure.
that. Moneyanswers.com, right?
Glad to take their emails and help them all the time, you bet.
All right, thanks, bud. Moneyanswers.com is Jordan Goodman. He's really good. He's really good.